When there are no pearly gates, no St. Peter welcoming them, no traditional images of angels fluttering about in the sky, not even a harp on the horizon, quite often they believe they have arrived in hell. They can form a false impression because of the fundamental beliefs that have been programmed into their minds. Sometimes in these confusing situations guilt comes into play, and then fear may take over, making their arrival in the afterlife very challenging for them and also for their family and friends waiting for them there. For a time, many of these people live in denial and fear, according to John, who also works as part of a welcoming group for newcomers as one of his many duties in spirit. He revealed that it can be very difficult to help these new arrivals emerge from their set frame of mind and adjust to what is really happening around them. John also pointed out that sometimes even evolved souls may have problems adjusting to the spirit world again, as they have left behind loved ones and find their last life very difficult to release. However, when they realize they can still make contact with those on Earth, a huge weight is lifted from them. They know they have to leave the Earth plane behind. But when they discover that they can still be in a position to eventually guide and help their loved ones, it is a lot easier. Apparently, though, not all spirits want to stay in close contact with those on the Earth plane. Some are more than happy to let go of everything and everyone from that past life. They adopt the principle of been there, done that and are ready to move on. Contact is an individual choice. But sometimes it may be part of a soul's destiny to immediately move on, as it is possible to return to higher planes to evolve or perhaps even to teach others in the afterlife. This allows them to release their earthly ties more easily, and also explains why some people communicate with loved ones back on Earth, while others are never heard from again. Just as on Earth, everybody in the afterlife has tasks to carry out, and once settled in, is keen to pursue a range of new activities. Many people opt to continue with the activities they enjoyed in their previous life, and these can range from practical pursuits to artistic and cultural interests. Others prefer to pursue completely different activities, perhaps learning new skills or indulging in creative areas such as painting, music, or acting, which they were unable to enjoy in their previous life. Yes, they do produce plays and even films there. John has continued to write in the afterlife, but chuckled as he told us he does not have to use his old typewriter, saying, "It's a lot simpler now, as essentially information is gathered and then passed on." Spirits are also allotted other duties, which can range from assisting new arrivals to assimilate through to helping in one of the healing centers or places of learning. The level of this work depends on the soul's development. As on Earth we can choose our leisure activities, so in the afterlife can we explore pursuits that may be creative, sporting, or whatever. John gave the example of a fisherman who still goes fishing every day, not just to catch fish, but to be part of and embrace the natural sights and sounds of his surroundings. The fisherman can enjoy the experience, even without a physical body. John described this as more of a sensation, such as we may experience in a vivid dream. "Maybe my golf swing will improve when I get back there." John said he still chooses to retain a sense of sight, even though he has no physical eyes to see through. He likens it to seeing a picture in the mind's eye, which is the way a clairvoyant sees images. This method of vision apparently forms a crystal clear picture in the mind's eye of each spirit. Memory also plays a part in conjuring up these images for him. This is how he is able to play sports, watch films, and take part in any number of activities. In the afterlife we are able to create these conditions and feelings with our thoughts, and John believes that in many ways they are a lot stronger and better than what we can experience with our physical bodies. However, while the fisherman may catch and even eat the fish he has created and then caught, this is unnecessary, as a food and drink are not needed for a spirit body. Still, old habits die hard. When people first arrive back in the afterlife they usually sit down and have meals, make cups of tea and coffee, smoke, and even enjoy an alcoholic beverage. They are able to create these experiences through the power of thought and memory. The feeling and habits of the human body, even though they're now in spirit form, are often so strong and ingrained that the need to eat and drink and indulge in other earthly activities stays with us until we are ready to release it. John reminisced about his craving for chocolate for desserts when he first crossed over, and said this indulgence took a while to fade. However, he added that his choices still include occasionally indulging in food and drink, even though he has no physical body to sustain. These are cravings of the mind, as opposed to actual needs, and remain with many spirits in the afterlife until they eventually fade. The same applies to habits such as drinking alcohol and smoking, especially if the people concerned have had deep conditioning in the previous life. John went on to introduce the topic of addictive drugs, which he described as having the biggest influence on the soul's pathway. They are generally the saddest souls in the afterlife as they struggle with their addiction, which has totally affected the purpose of their previous life. Drug use leaves an imprint on the psyche that is difficult to remove. Sometimes this imprint even remains ingrained as those spirits move into their next incarnation, as part of their karma, so that they can continue to learn lessons about their addictions. As I explained in Afterlife, any therapy needed around addictions begins in the healing center, where the spirit is sent shortly after crossing over. However, healing some addictions can be a very complex process with long-term effects that require a lot of subsequent soul group work and counseling. Situations like these are closely examined by spirits in afterlife group sessions with their guides as part of each soul's learning process. They are able to ascertain how this dependence impacted on them and others in their last life, and also investigate the reason for their addiction. In some instances, addiction could be related to the experiences that people in their family or social circle needed to have. This linking thread between us all is a very complex story, and John will explain it in a later chapter. The team also had a lot to say in future sessions on the topic of addiction to drugs. It expressed concern about the growing use of illegal and recreational drugs and the imprint they can make on the spirit of the people using them. Inappropriate or excessive use of some medications also can have an apparent impact on the spirit. Once a spirit returns to the afterlife, these imprints need cleansing, which can be an arduous process. 4. The puzzling question of time. Before each session with Kelly and John, I would meditate on what topics to discuss. M often chimed in with his suggestions, and I would sometimes wake up with an exciting new direction to pursue. John usually seemed to know what I wanted to discuss when we connected and would sometimes preempt my questions. At other times, questions would be fed into my mind as the session progressed, and often opened up exciting new areas of discussion. One such topic re-emerged at our next session. We had discussed in one of our very early communications that there is no such thing as time in the world of spirit, there is only the present moment to be experienced. Time is purely a measurement humans have created by using Earth's annual 365-day journey around the sun to give themselves some kind of reference in their daily lives. But if we lived on Mercury, which takes only 88 days to orbit the sun, this formula would be completely different, so time is subjective. People have always been fascinated by the measurement of time, with the oldest records being found in India, where measurement started by relating elapsed time to the blinking of the eye. It was found that this averaged at 4 seconds duration and was called a paramanu. In an alternate system described in the Vishnu Purana book, it is stated that 15 twinklings of the eye equaled 1 kashtiha. Fortunately for us, the sun system turned out to be more popular, although some people still describe events as happening in the blink of an eye. The whole question of time fascinates me. Probably because of my career in radio and TV, in which things are usually precisely measured in seconds. When I worked as a newsreader or program presenter, being exactly on time was vital. It's no use turning up a couple of minutes after the program goes to air, the silence would be deafening. But in spirit it's a different story. When I was communicating with the spirit world many years ago, time was explained to me as like a giant circle that loops back on itself. Perhaps it would help to explain the concept that past, present, and future are all happening simultaneously, and not on a linear path, and allows us to experience many lives at the same time. It also brings into play the concept of parallel dimensions. My brain finds this very hard to absorb, but Sid Caesar, a US actor, writer, and comedian, summed it up brilliantly. There's a now, a was, and a gonna be. Now is now, and after now is a was. And what comes after the was is a gonna be. It hasn't happened yet. It's gonna happen as soon as the now is over. But if you have a good now, you're bound to have a good was and a good gonna be. But after the bad now comes a bad was. But if you have a bad now and dwell on it, you're going to have a bad gonna be and you're going to have a bad cycle. If you learn from the bad was, you can turn the bad gonna be into a good gonna be. The only way you can change the cycle is after the was. If you carry the bad wases around with you, they get heavy and become shoulder-clders. I shoulder done this, I clder done that. If you learn from there was, you'll have a great now. You won't repeat the same mistakes. It will bring you to a good now, which changes the cycle to a good was, and a good gonna be. You need to learn from the wases. It's all about changing your attitude. 1. Not a bad formula for life, really. One of the first questions I asked John Dingwall once we got back into contact was how spirits in the afterlife know when an event like a concert or a lecture is about to start, if there is no point of reference. His answer made me think a lot. He said people have to create their own reality in the spirit world, using the power of thought for any scheduled event to take place. He likened it to direct streaming through the internet, or even the concept of delayed broadcasts. I immediately understood his meaning, as my radio program, Radio Out There, is pre-recorded and streamed onto the internet and can be accessed whenever listeners choose to visit my website, wherever they are in the world. John had a smile in his voice when he said that on Earth we are gradually catching up with the technology used in the afterlife. I wonder how he could have explained that before the digital age. We are observed by those in the world of spirit as trapping ourselves as slaves to time in our earthly lives, from the moment we open our eyes each morning, probably to the sound of an alarm clock for most people. The constraints around time are a very difficult cycle to break, I am told. When he first returned to his home in the afterlife, John found it difficult to adjust to the complete absence of time, and he admits he is still working on this, even after being there for several Earth years. He described his mind as still being humanish, which means he rises at the same time and feels he has to meet someone at a set time. However, in the afterlife there is only the state of the present moment, or being in the now, as it is often referred to these days. In fact, John does not have to sleep, it's not needed in the afterlife, but sometimes chooses to do so out of habit. A guest on my radio program provided an insight into the question of time. Jim Self, a spiritual teacher from the United States, maintains that people on Earth now live between two dimensions. The third dimension is one of linear measurement in which we gauge things in a straight line, such as past, present, and future. However, Jim believes that part of our spiritual energy is moving into the fourth dimension, where there is no such thing as time, only the present moment. Humans find it very difficult to escape the restrictions imposed by a linear world, and must make a conscious effort to be in the moment. When we stop and tune into our thoughts, we are mostly thinking about either past or future events. It requires a conscious decision for us to focus on the present moment. This becomes evident when we watch someone on TV playing competitive sports. Commentators will refer to the way a player is focusing on the moment, but when mistakes are made, they often comment that it is because the player has lost concentration. Because the afterlife is located in a higher dimension than that of the Earth and time does not exist there, spirits have to revert to three-dimensional thinking to be able to plan their contacts with us. On a slightly different vein, the thought came to me as the session progressed to inquire about the weather in the world of spirit. I have never seen or heard any references to rain, wind, or storms in the heaven world, So apparently they experience what might be thought of as perfect weather conditions. Many people in the afterlife do speak of being bathed in a warm, constant light, but do not report seeing the sun as such, although John still chooses to experience the energy of the sun. It would seem to me that once the sun cycle is taken out of the equation in that dimension, time measurement has no basis or reason for existence. It seems that while three-dimensional thinking is available on certain levels of the afterlife, not all spirits choose to use it, some choose to live there in a different manner. Some advanced spirits choose to exist almost like thin air, feeling their way through life, according to John. They exist on higher levels, but move around as part of their work as teachers and guides. Everyone has a choice in how they wish to live, and this is their preference. As spirits advance to higher levels, they are able to split their energy and be in many places at once. They are able to achieve this as part of the escape from linear time in the world where past, present, and future actually happen simultaneously, a principle difficult for the human mind to grasp. John gave the example of looking at a star shining brightly in the night sky. Even though we can see the star's light, we know that the star isn't actually shining at that moment but is a number of light years away, or perhaps the star died a long time ago. However, it exists for us in the past, present, and future. The advanced spirits want us to know that until we can learn to get over our dependence on time, we will not be able to access other dimensions of reality, despite our having the inherent ability to do so. 5. Destiny and free will. The question of destiny versus free will is one that has vexed many people over the ages. I have always maintained that life as a human being on Earth combines both of these principles, and it is up to us to define the difference. After all, if every aspect of our lives was predestined, what would be the point of it all? We would merely be marionettes manipulated by some celestial puppeteer as part of a script over which we have no input. And, according to my guide M, if everything was purely free will, chaos would reign supreme. We all have a destiny, everything and everybody have a purpose. Those words from John were firm and absolute, leaving no room for argument. As a former journalist, John has spent a lot of his afterlife activities researching the question of destiny and free will, as he has always been interested in what makes people tick. He is still on a relentless pursuit for truth, which has always been his watchword. John has discovered that our destiny plays an important part in our future lives, and said it's a key issue in group discussions in the afterlife as people prepare for their next incarnation. To what extent destiny impacts our lives varies with each person. It could be compared with the plot points in a mystery movie, providing options for new directions, opportunities, and challenges. Free will then takes over as we relate and react to each destiny point. The decisions we make form a vital part of our soul growth, as we learn to take responsibility for our actions. Or not, as the case might be. Just to confuse the issue, John has now learned that at times we may also have conflicting destinies, requiring us to take responsibility, whether we like it or not. The choices we make at these paradoxical times can affect the whole course of our life. When we then exercise our free will, it makes life really challenging. Temptations placed in our way test our character, or we may also become victims of circumstances. John gave the example of people's destiny being dramatically altered when they decide to take drugs. This may open up a whole new life path, taking them well away from the destiny route they were following at the time. They may be happy to continue in this new direction, even if it proves damaging for themselves and for others. However, there is always the opportunity available to return to their original predestined path. Although John emphasized it is vital that they accept responsibility for their choices and actions, he added that while temptations may be placed in our way by our guides for our potential growth, there are also bad spirits out there who take satisfaction from disrupting and sometimes even ruining people's lives. These are often described as mischievous spirits or dark energies. They are trapped or choose to stay behind on the earth plane after death. Many of them are afraid to cross over because of past deeds, and others will not accept that they are dead. Many aspects of our destiny come into play, and these can be stretched over numerous lifetimes. Sometimes we fulfill our destiny in one lifetime, but there are too many potential scenarios to generalize. We all have specific destiny points where we connect with key people such as family, friends, colleagues, even adversaries. We can also agree to meet up with certain people from past lifetimes to complete our karma with them, or to continue long-cherished relationships. This may involve members of our immediate soul group, but not always. Certain aspects of our life are meant to be, whether we like it or not. John likens this to the number of veins in a human body. Some are large and obvious, moving on a certain path, with smaller ones hidden or difficult to see, but on close inspection most rejoin the destined route. Some also cross, head off in other directions, and never come back to that point. Your destiny may be found on one of the clearly defined lines, but the distraction caused by smaller diversions could change things completely. Once again, this is where free will comes into play. John described the activities associated with these veins as forming part of a gigantic tapestry in which we are all featured in some way. Sometimes our threads cross over, linking up with other strands and heading in new directions, but in most cases we spend much of our lives working on our own small patch. There is a popular Chinese legend that maintains there is a red thread coming from each of us that connects us with those we are destined to meet, regardless of time, place, or circumstance. The thread may stretch or tangle, but will never break. The whole subject of destiny brings up various questions in my mind. I have interviewed many people who achieve prominence in life. Are they playing out a destiny mapped out in their life contract before they reincarnated? Taking it to a different level, what about world events that occur on a grand scale? Are they predestined? John confirmed my thought that people who have risen to great prominence or had major achievements in their life have fulfilled a prior destiny. He added it also indicates that certain parts of history have been pre-written to some extent, and the key people involved were given a lot of help and guidance along the way. John's information, which comes from his teachers and advanced spirits, implies that certain influential figures in history, such as Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, and Abraham Lincoln, are old souls. They are advanced spiritual beings who were capable of handling the pressure on them and were able to make vital decisions when placed in situations of high duress that changed the course of history. Major events, such as the two world wars of the 20th century, were predestined to a degree. However, when certain key figures closely involved in these wars allowed their power to corrupt them, the conflicts escalated and spiraled out of control, way past the point that was originally destined. With regard to the grim figures of history, John pointed out that sometimes evil is born out of evil, but some infamous figures have inspired other people and events that have proved life-changing, even beneficial, in the long term. Many dark situations have eventually led to huge positive changes in the world. The First World War saw huge loss of life, but there were great advancements in technology, including the establishment of air combat as the battles raged on for more than 4 years. Planes became faster, bigger, and more sophisticated. When peace was declared, there were many trained pilots ready to take up the opportunity as air transport was soon recognized as the way of the future. I was very surprised to hear John go on to say that the spirit world has an almost impossible task of controlling evil once it escalates, as it is born out of fear and hate. With regard to the world wars, once enmity escalated them into brutal conflicts, nothing could be done to halt their progress. These events created a destiny of their own, which led to world-changing events such as the Depression, mass migration, new European borders formed, and new countries such as Israel created. Would these events have occurred as a matter of course, or did the world wars irrevocably change the destiny of hundreds of millions of people? The question remains, whether commanders such as Dwight Eisenhower, Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery, and General Douglas MacArthur, who rose to such prominence in the Second World War, would have achieved their place in history without winning major battles. John reminded me that spirits about to reincarnate can embrace their destiny in many ways to learn their karmic lessons. Rising to prominence is one way, but even leading a simple life helping others can mean fulfilling your destiny in that particular lifetime. When I asked him whether many great figures in history have reincarnated or are still residing in the afterlife, his reply was, "It's not as if these details are up on a billboard somewhere, but word does get around in the spirit world just like on Earth. When an important spirit visits the plane you inhabit, someone invariably knows who it was in a previous life. It is not encouraged but, as John said, people still gossip even in the afterlife." My guide M wished to speak on the subject of destiny and life contracts, which he describes as such a complicated and vital part of our experiences. Pre-arranged contact between people before incarnation involves many activities and emotions, whether they occur in relationships, the workplace, or on a casual basis. While we may upset someone by causing problems in their life, this may have been arranged in spirit for their ultimate benefit and perhaps ours as well. Later, when our circumstances change, we often realize that life has taken a fresh turn or new opportunities have arisen, and work out for the better. These apparent setbacks may occur because of many events, from emotional outbursts and karma to being fired or retrenched, accidents, illness, and of course broken relationships. However, it is important that we do not use these setbacks as an excuse to indulge in unacceptable behavior, otherwise we are only negatively impacting others' lives while potentially creating bad karma for ourselves. 6. Challenges to life paths. So, how can we determine what is predestined or part of our karma? This is a difficult question that arises when we examine the concept of destiny. Our personality traits, such as those found in someone who is a chocoholic or over-aggressive or an addicted gambler, predestined or karmic? According to John, either situation can apply, especially if the personality trait grows and is allowed to result in an extreme problem in later life. Severe disorders can pose enormous challenges. It is ultimately an individual's voluntary choice, a reaction of free will and not divine determination, to overcome them. John cited the example of the effects of 100 people being injected with heroin. A percentage of them could go on to become addicts, while others would suffer no ongoing effects. John went on to say that a destiny path does not necessarily have to be contained in one lifetime. He gave the example of someone agreeing as part of a life contract to become involved with drugs or alcohol in order to help someone else in the family group with his or her soul experience, because the addiction is linked with family genetics. Research by the National Institute on Drug Abuse 1 has shown that alcoholism runs in families, in support of John's statement. Other spirits may have to endure more than one lifetime to learn their lesson, which links them to the karma they have created by not facing their challenges. This is where the tapestry of life becomes very complex and not easily explained, even for those spirits who are observing and learning in the afterlife. The idea of free will existing in association with destiny in these areas can be very confusing for some people. John gave the example of a person whose life path was not intended to include drug taking, but somehow still ended up becoming an addict. The path ahead may include either dying from an overdose, which would have widespread effects on family and friends, or conversely getting off the drugs, rehabilitating themselves, and going on to help others. The question of which path is free will and which is destiny cannot be easily answered, because each case is unique. The implication here for us is that we are not qualified to judge people in such cases, as the tapestry of life is too complicated for easy answers. Synchronicity or serendipity can also play a vital role in the entwining of the tapestry threads around us. Sometimes key events in life are created by free will, other times through synchronicity, and in many cases the circumstances surrounding these events are created for us by the spirits who watch over us in the afterlife. There are teams of spirits constantly working to create situations on our behalf, such as chance meetings, or incredible opportunities that may well have been created just for us as part of our life contract, agreed to before we are born. A significant memory or an inspired thought may come out of the blue. Sometimes, somehow, we just know something and feel the need to follow a hunch or gut reaction. I've personally experienced destiny at work. Many years ago I went to Egypt to find Carol, a feisty English blonde whom I had met the week before in Greece.